Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who are extraordinarily kind, if I do say so myself.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird? So, Vanessa, do you remember your favorite restaurant growing up?
Yes, Jonah. I believe you're talking about renowned steakhouse and more specifically prime rib house, Mountain Jack's.
Yeah. Yeah, you really loved steak when you were little.
Yeah, I really did. And I could eat a lot of it. I was just a little tot eating an entire medium rare prime rib steak on a lot of birthdays and special occasions. I really loved it.
Yeah, I remember not really liking it. It felt like kind of too stuffy for me. It was kind of like a fancy restaurant for like a little kid to be really into.
Yes, it was very classy of me to have liked it when I was so small. I mean, I do think looking back, we've looked into the history of Mountain Jack's a little bit. It was a chain, as I said, and there are about 21 of them around the Midwest and California. And I think now, like looking back, it was probably about as fancy as like Outback, but just it was like that level of niceness, I think.
I think it was lower based on like the commercials I've seen from like the 90s.
Right. And they did have the thing which we were reminded of when we were researching it, which is that they would bring a little salad bar to the side of your table and they would kind of make a little salad for you based on, you know, what fixins and toppins you wanted.
Yeah, you can make your own salad. I guess that's fun for some. I don't remember that being really fun for me, but that could be fun for some kids.
Yeah, Jonah, it could be. And it was. So like we were saying, you know, it was one of my favorite places. And I think the one in Cleveland that we used to go to, which there are a few in Cleveland, I believe, but I think they've all closed at this point.
Yeah, I believe we looked it up. There's one left. It's in Lafayette, Indiana, I think, but it's called Mountain Jack's and has a similar menu, but I'm not sure it's like exactly affiliated. It seems like there's not a lot of information about this because no one really cares. they don't even have a Wikipedia page, but they do have some commercials on YouTube. So it definitely, we're not making it up in case that's what you're thinking.
Right now, Mountain Jack's is making a complete prime rib dinner even more complete. Because not only do you get a special cut of prime rib, plus homemade soup and a salad made at your table, fresh baked bread and more, you also get a special slice of Mountain High mud pie.
There was a parent steakhouse company that closed, and thus was the undoing of Mountain Jack's.
Well, yeah. Well, that was a great recap.
of Mountain Jack's. And we just want to say to anybody else out there who's bummed that Mountain Jack's closed, we feel your pain. Right, Jonah?
Right. So, do you want to introduce today's guest?
Yes. I'd love to. All right. Now, our guest today is an extremely lovely, talented, kind, and hilarious actor, Emmy-nominated writer, and comedian who has worked on and starred in multiple shows and movies, including Inside Amy Schumer, Extraordinary, Smilf, Trainwreck, and as the character Birdie on Netflix's Love. She is also one of my closest friends, and we stay up very late most nights, enabling each other's shopping addictions. Welcome, Claudia O'Doherty.
Oh my God, that is such a deep talk secret about our online shopping addiction. But it's fine. I mean, it's true. I don't mind. Tell everyone.
I mean, the thing is, we return most things.
That's true. In a way, we're keeping the economy alive.
Yes. We're making little loans to the economy.
We're loaning money to the economy at a quick pace, returning things swiftly. And that is actually what keeps the economy and America going. Although we do sometimes buy things globally. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for being here. We're so excited to have you. Now, did you have a favorite restaurant growing up?
I did have a few favorite restaurants. Actually, when you were talking about Mountain Jack's, I was remembering that like my favorite restaurant was a Chinese restaurant in Sydney called The Regal, which is closed down now, sadly, but it was like gigantic and had many levels and had huge chandeliers. So I don't think it was fancy, but it definitely had like the veneer of fanciness with like red carpet, chandeliers, mirrored ceilings.
Wow.
Ooh.
So you could look at your dinner from above. Lazy Susan's. My sister would get so bored and she would often like lie down on the floor under the table because she was so bored. But I loved it. I think it's my the first place I had Chinese food, but we would probably go there like once every like 3 months and it was like a big deal. Because also we'd have to go into the city, which was a solid 10-minute drive from our house.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. It is funny when you're that age, all of those restaurants that they sort of have maybe sort of tacky things that are like quote unquote fancy things. When you're a kid, you're like, this is the fanciest place in the world. Yes.
Don't mind if I do. Also, like we didn't have Mountain Jacks, but like eventually when like American chains like Sizzler would come to Australia, to me, they seemed like so fancy because I'd heard of them on like American TV shows and they were so far away because they were like out in the suburbs. So it would be like, you would have to try and like, but like the idea of like a salad bar was like so exotic and fancy. Whereas like I was probably going to much nicer restaurants, but they didn't seem cool.
It's weird as a kid how excited you get about going to a chain restaurant.
Yes. Yes. I think it's because like your parents don't want to go there.
Right.
And you've seen an ad for it on TV. It's work.
Yes. The ad makes it seem fancier. Whereas now it sort of seems like if a restaurant is doing a commercial,
yeah, it's probably
not the nicest
place. Not a
place.
Great sign. But I did love food advertised on TV was the food I wanted to eat.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You have brought such a funny, we asked you to come in with a nostalgic, something from your childhood to talk about today, as we do.
Yes. Yes.
And you wanted to talk about a little commercial that aired in Australia while you were growing up. And the name of the commercial is She Missed a Dinner with Tom Cruise. Now, Claudia, would you like to elaborate?
Well, first of all, you called it a little commercial.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
That's so wrong because it was a cultural phenomenon.
Right. I do apologize. A huge commercial.
Huge. It's an iconic commercial. Okay, here we go. Okay, so, I don't want to do the spoiler of what it's for. So it is a commercial that it was on TV in 1990 and it's a young woman in an office and she's on the phone to a radio station and it kind of looks very like cozy and blown out in that kind of Nescafe. Is that what it's called in America? Like the 90s ad way where it's like there's yes. so much light, but you know, and she's on the phone to the radio station and they're like, you've won a dinner with Tom Cruise. You're going to be picked up in a limousine and taken to a city restaurant. And she's like, oh my God. And all of her office worker friends are listening from the break room and they can't believe it. And then she's like, when is it? And they're like, tonight. And she's like, I can't. Mom's making lamb. And then she goes home. She tells her family she didn't go on the date with Tom Cruise because her mom was making lamb. So it's an ad for lamb.
And then the dad says something like, well, you can see Tom Cruise any night.
Yes.
She doesn't have any remorse about it. She's
no,
like,
they all know she made the right decision. She should have said no to Tom and yes to the roast lamb. But here's what made it like really sort of like meta and confusing, because it was like this gigantic ad, was that the girl who played, because she was very young at the time, who played the young woman who won the competition was Naomi Watts. And Nicole Kidman got together with Tom Cruise in 1989 and this ad was in 1990 and Naomi Watts was Nicole Kidman's best friend.
Wow.
Which like everyone in Australia was like deeply aware of, and like right. the Nicole Kidman thing, everyone was aware of that. So it's like, I guess it was like playing into the idea that like Tom Cruise liked Australian girls, maybe. Like it was like, well, if he would date Nicole Kidman, why wouldn't he date any old chump from the radio? And so it was like, it was very confused because also I was a kid, so it was sort of confusing because it was like, is this real? Because, like, talking about Tom Cruise in an ad was very confusing.
How often was this commercial on? Was it on a lot?
A lot. It was like the biggest ad in the country.
Wow.
And lamb sales went through the roof.
Really?
I have no idea.
Probably. I bet they did.
I think he did. I think Australia loves lamb generally. It's like a big meat for that country. My
country. Got it. Got it. Yeah. Got it. Got it.
Yeah, it's a very lamb heavy diet.
Yes. Wow.
We export a lot of lamb.
Interesting.
Very.
Let's play this commercial so we can give the audience just the audio a little sense of what it is. And you can hear a young Naomi Watts.
Okay, folks, here we go. We're going to dial the winner of our Dinner with Tom Cruise competition.
Hello.
Hello, Julie Rankin.
Yeah.
Nice work, Julie. You've scored a dinner with Tom Cruise. Yes, a stretch limousine will take you to a top city restaurant, then a romantic dinner, just you and Tom.
When?
Tonight.
I'm sorry, I can't.
What?
Mum's doing a lamb roast.
Oh, great, yeah.
I hope you realise I gave up a dinner with Tom Cruise for this.
Never mind, love. You can go out with him any night.
Well, I wanted to say something.
Okay, go ahead.
Claudia, you're not the only person who's confused about this commercial because we did a little research and I guess Jimmy Kimmel asked Naomi Watts about this commercial.
Oh my God. Why did he ruin this was my idea to put it on your podcast.
Yeah, it wasn't playing during his childhood.
I
mean, it was, but he didn't see it because he didn't grow up in Australia.
Kimmel is always stealing my bits.
That's the whole thing, isn't it?
I want to get it out there and I want him to stop.
Well, she said, I think I was a vegetarian at the time. It makes no sense.
Well, that makes sense. She's acting. It's not, or is it real? Now I'm even more confused.
The part that's the least unbelievable is the fact that she was vegetarian.
She's pretending to eat meat.
That's pretty
standard for an actor.
In the ad, you don't even see the lamb until her, like, she never touches, she's nowhere near the lamb in the ass. If she was chewing on some lamb, she's not.
That would actually still make sense. It would be that she probably spit it out, but.
Yeah. You don't hear a lot of radio concerts or contests where it's like you're going on a date with an A-list celebrity just out of nowhere.
That makes less sense.
That
it's
makes
also
less sense.
Knowing that she, you know, did people know who she was at the time?
Well, she was definitely in Brides of Christ was this huge like mini series in Australia that she was the star of. And it was like a set in the 60s at like a Catholic school, which, okay. So there's a lot of things that made all of this confusing for me because it was shot at the school my mom went to.
Whoa.
And then it was even more confusing. It got even more confusing for me because then like 2 years later, I was in an ad with Naomi Watts.
What?
Was it for lamb?
And I am a lamb? No, I'm not. But no, it wasn't for lamb. It was because my dad is an artist and he was a designer. His designs were on this surf label called Mambo, which was like pretty popular when I was a kid. And they made these ads, which were on TV like once. Like really, it was not a huge ad at all. But very confusing for me as a child. There was like the Naomi Watts ad, but she was really going on a date with Tom Cruise because Nicole, like that was confusing. And then I was in an ad with Naomi Watts where she played my mom.
No, I would love to see the ad that you were in. Is that something that we can?
I mean, it sounds like I'm lying because I've never seen it again, but definitely there was an ad where she played my mom and she was wearing a Marge Simpson wig.
Hey, Claudia, we have to find, what is it for? Maybe our producers
can. It's Mambo. That's the name of the website. No, I've looked for it. I can't find it.
You can't find it. Okay.
And in the ad, we were washing a car. My brother played my brother. My dad plays my dad. My sister came to be in it as well, but she was throwing up. She was so sick, she couldn't be in it. But Naomi Watts was like this young, cool actress. And I don't know why she was in this ad with us.
This sounds like a dream you had, but I believe you.
I know it sounds like a lie.
When you did the commercial, did you ask her? Were you like, I'd love more details on the lamb commercial?
No, I was much too frightened.
Right.
But I was like, am I famous? Because I'm in an ad.
Well,
here I am in a TV studio.
to fill in Jonah and the rest of our audience, Claudia's dad is a very, like, well, very popular artist in Australia.
He's a well-known artist in Australia, and he was in a band that was like a very popular band in us as well.
Yes, Jonah Mental might know this band.
I doubt. I feel like he wouldn't. No offense.
I was doing some research. I didn't know of them, but they seem like a cool band.
Their biggest song over here was this. There was a song on the Crocodile Dundee soundtrack called "Live It Up." Yeah, and that was like a big hit in the UK. Anyway, so they were like a big band in Australia.
What's the name of the band?
The band is called Mental as Anything.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. But yes, yeah, so that was like, I was always confused about whether or not I was famous, because I guess we were like adjacent to fame sometimes. So I was like, am I a celebrity? And then I'd be in an ad with Amy Watts. I was on the cover of a magazine once. I know it sounds like
Claudia, what is the magazine?
I was on the cover of a magazine called, I think it was Good Housekeeping.
Was it like a story on your dad and you?
Yeah, there was an article about children wanting to dress how they wanted and like parents being annoyed by how they wanted to be dressed. And I only wanted to wear party dresses, pink dresses.
I was shockingly similar, Claudia. I assume your dad, the reason that he was featured in this article is because he was probably cool about it. Am I right or wrong?
He was cool. He was cool about me dressing like a princess. Oh, he like didn't care how
I
dressed.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
He couldn't have cared less how I dressed. But obviously, like, I think it was like they needed some famous person to like be on the cover. And I probably was like, I'll do it. I want to do it. Let's do it.
Please, hey, Claudia, if your dad was on the cover of Good Housekeeping and you were too, I hate to break it to you. You're not celebrity adjacent. Okay. You're celebs. It's two little celebs.
That's what I thought. But then it was like, then nothing else would happen, obviously, because why would it? I was, you know, 5 or 6 years old. I was not working. I wasn't. I mean, Vanessa, there was a tiara. I remember like sitting, getting like, I guess my hair done for this magazine to cover. And there was like a tiara on the desk. And I was like, everything's working out just as I expected.
What were some other times that like you experienced like things with your dad that made you feel like you were a celebrity?
I remember he would get invited to premieres, and I would, if I saw the invitation, I'd be like, we have to go. And so we did go to the premiere of The Wedding Singer, and like Planet Hollywood had just come to Australia, and the after party was at Planet Hollywood, and Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore were there, and I didn't get to meet them, but I stood near them.
Wow.
I
think when you're a kid, like, you fall for all of it, you know?
Yeah.
You feed right into all of the things. It's like the same as going to that Chinese restaurant and thinking because it had a red carpet and chandeliers that it was the fanciest place on earth.
Exactly. Maybe it was. It was such a good restaurant.
So was Mountain Jack's, I've got to say. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with Claudia O'Doherty. Well, we are back from commercial, and here we are with Claudia O'Doherty. Since appearing, you know, in that photo shoot,
yep.
You have become a comedian and an actor and all things brilliant. And
a superstar.
But you've become like a performer, actor, comedian,
yes.
Writer. Yep. And your sister Lucy is an artist.
It's true.
Well, you're both artists.
Thank you. But yeah, she is an artist that uses a pen. She actually uses like pastels and paint.
Yes, she's a very talented artist, and
she's very good.
How do you think that time affected her? Like, do you think she was enjoying it more?
I think she just didn't have the level of like sort of psychotic awareness I had, mm-hmm. where I was like sort of like keeping track of everything, being like, does this mean I'm famous? I think she just wanted to have like a photo where someone had like brushed her hair.
Right. Right.
She looks great in these photos. She has like really thick, long hair and she looks really beautiful. And I look really funny in the photos. Really funny. They've just like put my hair on top of my head and I look so sad. And they put some makeup on me, but like, you know, I look really uncomfortable.
Well, don't you, not to take it out of your childhood, but don't you even feel like now, like when you've, like when you were first starting out, like working in this business, like I just feel like I would let hair and makeup people do whatever they wanted. Yeah. And then I'd be like, once it gets to the photo, it'll look good. And then I would get see the photo that they were using and it looked bad.
Yeah, that's like, never the case.
I did this, the first time I ever did a magazine, like a shoot for a magazine, I did this one page thing in this magazine, like I think it was my first season on SNL. And they did such a crazy thing with my hair where they like really straightened it and it was like sort of covering one of my eyes, and in my mind I was like, this is a professional hair person, they know what they're doing, I'm gonna look incredible. And then I saw the picture and I was like, oh, this didn't change from when I didn't like it in the mirror to when they took a photograph of it. Like, I don't know, it's like almost a little kid thing where you feel so like out of your element. Yes. That you're just like, whatever you guys think.
I continue to be like so bad at asking for like what I want or what might make me feel comfortable or look better. When I was like first doing like live shows, when I like first started doing comedy and I would do like festival shows, I remember I was in the newspaper and I was getting my photo taken and the photographer tried to get me to stand in the bin. He was like, can you get in that trash can? It was like a public trash can. We were outside. Oh, we were in a park. And he was like, wouldn't that be funny? Because it's like a funny show if like you're coming out of the trash can. And I was like, no. And he was really annoyed with me.
Annoyed. Yes. That's wild that he just thought of that and was like, you'll do it, right? And you're like, no. And he was like, I can't.
Yeah. Well, it's good you stuck up for yourself. I think that's admirable.
It is pretty cool that I didn't get in the trash can. I'm bad.
And just to circle back a little bit.
Yes.
As far as lamb, as a food goes, like, mm-hmm. Is that something you ate a lot as a family, as like a kid? Like, is there a specific way you prepare it? Because it seems like such a vague thing. Like it seems like there's so many ways you can make lamb.
Well, a roast lamb is like a fairly classic Australian, but I'd say also British. New Zealand loves lamb as well. But you guys don't care much about lamb in America, do you?
You don't see it a lot on menus here. Once in a while. But yeah, not the places that we were eating growing up for sure. Not Mountain Jack's.
We die for lamb in Australia. And it's generally you do a roast leg of lamb as a classic Sunday dinner.
Got it. And to be clear of what lamb is, I know what a lamb is. Are lamb baby sheep?
Yeah. You've hit the nail right on the head. That's exactly what lambs are.
Do people eat sheep?
That's called mutton when it's a food.
Right.
And people don't like it. Mutton dressed as lamb? No thanks. You would prefer lamb.
And do you know what age constitutes still being a lamb?
I don't. And it's probably something like chillingly young. Like it's probably like after 3 weeks, it's mutton and it's trash.
Well, what is, you know, I loved Mountain Jack's and I loved prime rib when I was little, as we've talked about. But then when I was at overnight camp, when I was about 12 years old, this one girl in our cabin was a pescatarian. Mm. For those of you who don't know, that means you only eat seafood and fish. And I became a pescatarian until I was like 31. So for like 20 years of my life, I stopped eating steak. And I actually think, in some ways, I think it was like a lucky thing because I liked steak so much and could eat so much of it when I was so little that I might have like given myself some kind of cholesterol issue had I not taken a little break.
No, I'm sure it's for the best. And no one should really eat steak or lamb. Oh my God, I just thought about it. Remember how Oprah got in trouble because she said she didn't want to eat beef because of the mad cow disease.
Yeah.
Yes. So I was like, am I going to get sued by like all meat for saying no one should eat meat?
We can take it out.
I actually just want to see if it will happen.
What happens?
So leave it in. I'm not scared.
It'll probably make some headlines, I think.
I hope so. I want to cause as much controversy as possible on this podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, this pod. Yeah. I think this is going to be
hot button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We want to make like a really controversial kind of pod. Yeah.
Quite an edgy pod.
This is the edgiest pod of pods because people come out and they say, you know, don't eat meat.
Cut back on meat. Meat. I said it.
But, you know, because I didn't eat meat for 20 years of my life, and then all of a sudden when I started eating meat again, I was a full adult. I sort of have this weird thing with meat where the only kinds of meat I like are kinds of meat that I ate when I was a kid. So, like, to me, I like steak still.
Yeah.
I don't eat it a lot, okay, but I do sometimes. Mm-hmm. I like hamburgers. I love turkey sandwiches. To me, when I started eating meat and poultry again, to me, I was like, turkey sandwiches, these are out of this world. And I don't mean like turkey off the bone kind of a thing. I mean like deli turkey, like very thinly sliced deli turkey. I'm like, yes, please. And basically that's it. And meatballs and like all other meat, like rabbit and stuff like that. I'm like, no, thanks.
Well, rabbit is really hard to make delish, I would say. And like, then you're just rabbit. Obviously, it's just because it's like you eat it more rarely, but like, it's just like sort of confronting being like, this is a rabbit bone.
Right.
And like, how far is a rabbit from a rat?
Wow.
They've both got two big front teeth. Think about that.
We are going to get in so much trouble with PETA for this.
No, I think PETA will be glad.
No, PETA will be happy.
We're putting our foot down and saying everyone has to stop eating so much rabbit.
Right. Right. Because it's one step away from you eating rat, you dumb dumb.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh my God, my career is over. But no more rabbit. I'll stand by that.
Incredible.
I did have a good rabbit pasta though recently in Sydney. Unfortunately.
Claudia.
Before lockdown.
Amazing.
It was a rabbit ragu, but it would have worked with almost any other meat.
Incredible. I love that. Okay, we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back with Claudia O'Doherty and a game. Okay, we're back. Now, Claudia, we'd like to play a game with you that we call Back to the Present.
Joan and Vanessa, we've got to go back to the present!
I don't think I've ever seen any of the Back to the Future films all the way through. I've only seen parts of all of them.
Really?
Yeah. So anyways, in this game, it's a kind of a segment. And we each get to say something that from our childhood that we wish would come back. And so we want to give you a little time to think. So we will go first.
Great.
Okay. Just remember, there's no wrong answers. And whatever you say, our producers will try and research it while you're talking about it so we can give you some data.
Okay, great.
On it. Okay. So Jonah, would you like to go first with your pick for Back to the Present?
Yes. So my pick, Claudia, I don't know if you're a big fan of Taco Bell.
I'm not, because I'm not familiar with it. I know what it is.
That wasn't really as much of a thing in Australia.
No, I think it's there now, but it was, a much later arrival.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is kind of figures into what we've been talking about. You know, I was vegetarian for a long time, sort of in high school and college and stuff. And so I got really
into... I just want to stop short and say that when I first became a vegetarian, you were not a vegetarian and used to like blatantly eat meat in front of me at the dinner table. Okay, go ahead.
Rude.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that sounds right. I mean, I was vegetarian probably from the time I was like 17 to like 27 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I was vegetarian, I was eating a ton of Taco Bell.
Uh-huh.
And they had this thing called the 7-layer burrito, which had tomatoes, refried beans, seasoned rice, 3-cheese blend, low-fat sour cream, guacamole, and lettuce.
Yeah.
Which sounds, you know, but everything was like squeezed out of like a weird container. But it was like my favorite thing, and I've gotten it in recent years, and it was discontinued just in 2020. Yeah.
So you're not going far back.
I was near Taco Bell and I was going to get one, and then it wasn't on the menu. And then I looked it up because I hadn't been to Taco Bell in a while. And I guess you can customize a bean burrito and get it, but they discontinued all of this kind of vegetarian stuff recently.
Ooh, they're sending a message.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if the lamb lobby is responsible.
I think it could be the lamb lobby. And they, I guess, you know, Len Torin, who's the executive director of the American Vegetarian Association, says, who I think is on Taco Bell's payroll, said...
Wait, hold on. Vegetation or vegetarian?
Vegetarian.
Okay.
He said there continues to remain an excellent vegetarian selection and vegetarian combination options are still available. But it's like, they got rid of all this vegetarian stuff, I think, because like, they want to have like the least amount of ingredients possible.
Oh my God.
And just streamlining. So yeah, I think they should bring it back, because I also feel like all these fast food places are all getting all this fake meat now, like the Impossible stuff, like everyone's into that. Like, I feel like people want more vegetarian options, and Taco Bell seems to be doing the opposite. So
that is a very weird move.
I agree. It's a weird move, and I feel like someone had to say it, and I hope that they're listening to this.
Well, here you go again, making this the edgiest pod around.
So edgy. I mean, I will say, it says that... both the company and outside analysts who, you know, you got to trust these outside analysts and analysts, that the restaurant is likely to expand its plant-based meat options in the near future. So that suggests the latest menu changes are only a temporary setback for vegetarians and vegans who could be getting better items soon. Although I will say, as someone who used to be a vegetarian before it was cool to sub out fake meat, sometimes as a vegetarian, you just want vegetarian stuff. You don't want to have a meat substitute in there.
Sure. I think that's true.
Yeah. Because sometimes fake meat, it's like, I don't pander, like, don't condescend to me.
How dare you?
I don't need to pretend I'm eating meat.
Yeah, I like being a vegetarian because I don't want to eat meat. Stop trying to make me feel like, you know, right, Claudia?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's my back to the present. And maybe they'll bring it back. I mean, like,
yeah, I mean, it's
like,
something like you remember. I probably a lot of people have been eating it for so many years. And
it is funny that we live in a time where you can probably like get an online petition going. And I mean, I don't feel remotely worried that you won't be able to get it back if you want it.
I think it was jonahchange.org we were talking about? They had a petition to bring back
some
lean
kind of
pockets?
Fruit snack.
Or free, lean pockets. Oh, or
something.
Some kind of something. Yeah. That we had
and
talked about
we
recently.
We were kind of like, we don't think that's really what change.org is supposed to be, but clearly
that's
people feel
the change.
Strongly about this.
That's the main change I want to see.
Yeah. I mean, in reality, I probably would eat this like once a year. So not that big of a deal to me, but it's sort of...
Oh,
just,
well, then why did you say it?
Well, I mean,
it's not the point of the game.
Yeah, no, I mean, I mean, to be totally honest, I don't live really near a Taco Bell. So it's sort of like, but maybe I would move near one at some point in my
life. Okay, that's a huge, and there it is.
Yeah. That's what we needed to hear.
Yeah.
So, Vanessa, what is your pick for Back to the Present?
Well, my pick for Back to the Present is the 90s sitcom Wings. Claudia, are you familiar with Wings?
Yeah.
Wings is an American sitcom television series that ran for 8 seasons on NBC from 1990 to 1997. It takes place at a fictional airport called Tom Nevers Field Airport, a small 2-airline airport in Nantucket, Massachusetts. And it starred Tim Daly and Steven Weber. So it was a really incredible cast. They played brothers and pilots. And Crystal Bernard played Helen. There were a lot of stars on the show. Thomas Hayden Church portrayed the mechanic Lowell.
Ned himself?
Yes, Ned himself. Yes. Tony Shalhoub was the taxi driver Antonio from seasons 3 onward. Amy Yazbek played Helen's sister, Casey.
Wow.
Now, you know, I was thinking, Claudia, before I... also, It was created and produced by these Cheers veterans, and it kind of existed in the same world as Cheers and Frasier. So, like, sometimes people from those shows would stop into the airport. Now, something that I thought of, Claudia, that was so weird, I didn't even think about this when I picked this for the show that you were going to be on, but do you remember that we were at a party on Sarah Silverman's roof, and we met both Steven Weber and Amy Yazbek?
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy? It was probably like 2.5 years ago. It was when I first moved here.
Wow. We were in Wings, essentially.
We were basically in Wings at that roof party. Isn't that so strange that we met them together?
That is bizarre.
We were at this party and Steven, they were both there. And they weren't, I don't think they were dating or anything, but, and I never
they put probably together, were. Let's
maybe they
that.
Were actually.
I think I saw them Frenching.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to get that rumor going.
Did I get too excited about the term Frenching?
Were there characters in love on the show?
I don't think so, because I think on the show, oh wait, maybe their characters were in love on the show. Oh my God, it's so lame that I can't answer that for you. Because wasn't Tim Daly got married to, his love interest was Crystal Bernard, I think. I think actually they maybe were each other's love interest on the show. And then in real life, we saw that, isn't that the best too? Like when people from who are in a TV romantic relationship get together in real life.
Yeah.
Even if it's probably...
Even if they absolutely did not do that. Yeah. I remember seeing her as the mom in Problem Child as a kid and thinking, that's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life.
She's so beautiful. And you know what also is really crazy about that? Here's some more fun facts about Wings. You know, John Ritter played her husband on it, right?
Or and then he is her was her husband.
And then they got married for real life.
That's nice.
And also he made a guest appearance on Wings as Stuart Davenport, the ex-husband of Amy Yazbek. And then 3 years after they were on Wings together, they got married, Ritter and
Yazbek.
That's
actually very beautiful. I loved it when people who were on something got together. And in the same way that when Kerry Russell and Matthew Rhys got together after being on The Americans, that really rocked my world as well.
Oh my God. I truly, that was the kind of thing that like, it made me so happy. It's so weird how into that you are as a kid. Like, I remember like feeling like, okay, if Brenda and Dylan really date in real life.
Oh my God.
Like if Luke Perry and Shannon Doherty, if they became a real couple.
I would flip out. I just remember seeing a magazine cover that said that David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson like had slept together and I was breathless.
Yeah, it's so funny how into that you get. And also, here's the other thing. I remember the other thing when we were kids was like, if you found out that sounds so insane, but if you found out that an actor in real life smoked, it was the saddest thing.
Wow.
For me and my friends. In fact, we had this binder where we would collect, I think it was when we were in like fourth grade. In Mrs. Ferber's class, Jonah, I know you had her as your fourth grade teacher as well. We were in Mrs. Ferber's class and we were collecting 90210 cards, which were basically like baseball cards, but with they had a bunch of different ones for each character. And we had this binder with the cards in it. And then on the back of it, we wrote, who do you think on 90210 smokes in real life? And we all just wrote Brenda. Like that was the only person we could believe.
Oh my God.
Actually, but we had like heard about them smoking in real life. And it was just the most heartbreaking thing.
Wow.
Like if they smoke in real life, they're probably bad people. I think the only people who didn't share this feeling of my friends were people whose parents smoked because it was like, they didn't make the same association.
Yes. No, there were cigarettes in my house. So I knew it was like bad, bad, bad because obviously there was a lot of like media to make you think it was bad. But also it's interesting to me that you had such an anti-Brenda mentality because for me, as someone whose last name is O'Doherty and as someone who has brown hair, Brenda was it.
Right.
Because I was like, am I Brenda? She has brown hair and her name is like my name.
I mean, you're so close. Again, when you're a kid, you're
another
so close.
Very confusing situation.
Yeah,
for
there's
me.
A lot of confusing situations growing up.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I also, when I was right around that time, I think it might have been in third grade, as you know, and our friend Paul Rust was also a part of this club, but people who graduated in the year 2000, there was this thing, I think it was maybe only in the Midwest,
yeah.
But it was this thing called, where it was this thing where in like third or fourth grade, you signed this thing that said you would never smoke. And it was maybe like a Nancy Reagan. I don't know. Anyways, you would sign this thing and it was a certificate that said you would never smoke ever in your life. And it was optional. And there was this one really smart kid in my class, so thoughtful, James Kung. And I remember he stood up in class and was like, I'm not going to sign this because I think when I'm a little bit older, I might want to experiment with cigarettes. This is like a third grader. Like he was so, I remember he was like light years ahead of all of us. Anyways,
wow.
So he didn't sign it. And I remember the teacher was like, that's your choice. That's okay. And then the rest of us all signed it, but I kept it. And one time I brought this up to Paul and Paul was like, oh yeah, you were in the smoke-free class of 2000, which is what this initiative was called.
Oh my God.
And I still to this day have never smoked a cigarette because of it. And I think probably me and actually James Kung, the guy who gave that speech, are probably the only two people who haven't smoked cigarettes ever.
Wait, have you asked him if he ever experimented with cigarettes?
You know, I asked him if he remembered that story and he didn't. And I don't know that I remember. I said, do you remember giving this like very moving speech in third grade? And he was like, I don't remember giving that speech, but I should have asked him if he ever smoked. But he did remember. This is actually very sweet. He sent me the sweetest note on like some social media where he said, I remember one time I danced with you in class and I had like the time of my life. Like, I don't know why we were dancing and like slow dancing in class. It seems like, where's the teacher? But he said it was like the time of my life. I kind of want to find this message we had and read it. But anyways, he doesn't remember giving that speech. I've asked him. Wow. He was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, he probably doesn't remember a lot from third grade. I don't remember anything from third grade.
I mean, I don't remember the dancing, although I'm sure I had a great time too, but I do remember him giving this powerful, moving speech.
He sounds like a very profound person.
A very profound person.
Yeah.
A couple other fun facts about Wings, if you guys are ready.
So why do you want it to come back so badly?
Yeah.
Do you want it to be rebooted?
Well, here's the thing is I guess in some ways I would be pissed if it wasn't the original cast.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was such a good show. Cause even Jonah, when I said that I wanted to talk about it on the show, you were like, that was such a good show. And like, not that we didn't align on other shows, but it's like, I feel like that was really a show for everyone. It was such a like funny show. Like it wasn't specific in a way that like, you know, like everyone could have a lot of fun watching
this airport,
watching Wings. And another fun fact about Wings is that one time, the airplane in the opening credits, it's this tiny airplane from this airline, Cape Air, from their fleet. Mm. And so I had heard like one time I flew Cape Air because I was doing like a stand-up show at a college and it was me. And I don't know if you guys know Nick Vatterott, but Nick Vatterott and I were both flying like from New York to, I can't remember where we were flying to, but somewhere near like a Nantucket-ish type of town. And we had to take this tiny Cape Air airplane. And people were like, this is the airline that Wings is based on and stuff. And it was like, oh, so much fun. But then there were only going to be like seven people on the flight. And so two interesting things happened. One was the woman who was like, you know, checking us all in was like, who wants to be the co-pilot? And this one woman just like raised her hand and was like, I'll be the co-pilot. And it felt very unsafe because it was
dangerous,
like a co-pilot isn't just someone who's there as like... It's not just like a fun title. It's like if something should happen to the pilot, you
job.
Need the co-pilot. So that was the first thing that was kind of upsetting. And again, it's only like an hour-long flight, but you still would love someone.
Small planes are quite scary to go in.
Yeah, and you'd love someone who knew what they were doing in that seat. The second thing was they were like, you have to give us your weight. So we can like distribute, you know, the plenty. So I wrote down my weight and yeah, I lied a little bit. Okay. I lied about my weight because, you know,
I think would lie up. I would add.
Yeah. Right.
Because you don't want, because other people are probably going down. How much did you take out off your weight?
I think I took off about 15 pounds, I'll say.
Oh my okay. God.
I know. Because I just wasn't really thinking. And then they go, they're like, okay, Vanessa, you're going to be sitting in the back of the plane because you're the lightest.
Oh my God.
Meanwhile, I'm doing stand up with this very funny comedian, Nick Vatterott, who's definitely weighed less than me. So I'm like, okay. So what's funny is that at no point was I like, oh, for the good of the safety of everyone on this flight, I should probably come clean about my weight. I thought, it's fine. So anyways, we took the flight. Everyone was safe, but I'll never fly them again because, I would fly them again, but I probably just wouldn't lie about my weight. And I'd probably ask that.
More that other people shouldn't fly with you.
I guess that's the real
lesson.
I guess that's the real lesson.
So Claudia, what do you think? What's your
back to the present pick now that you've heard
ours? I feel so strongly about this.
Ooh.
It's another food one. It's salt and vinegar ruffles. Yeah, yes. They were the best chips. And I love a salt and vinegar chip, but salt and vinegar ruffle was like the best ever balance of salt and vinegar to ever be found on a chip. And I also, they don't have them in America. When I moved to America, I checked if you had them here, but you don't have them. And in Australia, they got rid of them. I don't think they have ruffles at all in Australia anymore. But salt and vinegar ruffles were so good because I don't like kettle chips. Sorry.
Whoa.
Wow, controversial.
They're too crunchy and too greasy. Sorry.
Keeping us the edgiest podcast out there. Now, let me ask you this. Was it the texture of the ruffles that was like what you liked, or was it the specific ratio of salt and vinegar to chip that was?
It was both because they were never too vinegary, whereas the Smiths, which is a very big chip company in Australia, the mascot was the Gobbledoc, which is like a little alien like elf that eats chips. Anyway, so those still exist, and those are still a very good salt and vinegar chip that's not kettle. I feel like kettle dominates the potato chip market now.
Yeah.
Certainly right. In Australia. And so Smith's is still like sort of like a crinkle cut, pretty good textured chip, but the Ruffles ones were never too vinegary, and there was like a little sweetness to their vinegar that made it the ultimate chip, the best potato chip ever.
I found something on iPetitions.com.
I'll be signing it.
Yeah, and there's 118 comments. 180 people have signed it.
That's not many.
No. It's been. I think it's been up for quite a few years.
Jonah, are you looking at the change.org petition?
No, iPetitions, okay. And it says...
Even heard of iPetitions.
Me neither, until right now. It says, iPetitions, your voice counts.
I don't think it does.
Frito-Lay says, market research is to blame. Show us. Frito-Lay says, they sell salt and vinegar through other brands, not the same. Frito-Lay has an opportunity like no other. Ripple it.
Whoa.
Well, you know, those people should get together with... these other people that made a petition on change.org that our producer Hans just sent us. Now, 120 people have signed this one.
Still not
many. And it says at 200 signatures, this petition is more likely to be featured in recommendations. But let me just tell you what Nathan Headley, who started this petition, said. American consumers deserve the right to experience a proper salt and vinegar chip. The market is flooded with thin, flat, and flavorless salt salt and vinegar potato chips.
I couldn't
Frito-Lay and PepsiCo are American brands, and Ruffles is America's best potato chips. So I implore these companies to finally bring this amazing flavor of snack home and give us a chance to decide. And then in all caps, make salt and vinegar great again.
Which is not used often enough as like a format for a phrase. I couldn't agree more.
Claudia, when's the last time you had a Ruffles salt and vinegar chip, do you think?
I would probably like 1999.
Wow.
They got rid of them like a long time ago.
But guess what?
What?
They're in Canada now. They brought them to Canada.
Book me a ticket.
Normally only available on a limited time basis, Ruffles Canada confirmed the fan favorite flavor is back, and this time they're back for good. And that was in 2019 they came back.
Do you think that I'll be sent some for free because I'm on a podcast?
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think that's how it works. And the thing is, like, you have plugged them. They didn't ask you to.
No.
You know? And you really did make it seem like this was an incredible product that honestly gone too soon.
Gone too soon. It's absolutely the best salt vinegar chip you can have. Okay?
Yeah. That is...
And kettle chips suck. Sorry.
Wow. I mean, this is the kind of hard-hitting, you know, controversial dish that people come over to this podcast for.
Yeah,
so,
we're going to have the meat industry after us, the kettle chip corporations.
Guess what? I don't care.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't care.
Incredible.
Well, who knows what'll happen next week on this podcast.
I'm scared.
Well, that was really fun, you guys. Thanks so much to Claudia. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been, you know, heaven on earth to talk about all of this stuff.
And Claudia, is there, where can people find you? Is this
Oh my gosh. Well, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter. If you just look up my name, you'll find me.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Claudia, for joining us and everyone for listening. If you enjoyed that, please subscribe to the podcast. And keep an eye out for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird?